side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Time to get back to the real world.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
How long is this show? 3 hours?
Yeah.
Not enough.
No,
not never enough. There's way too much to talk about today. We have a lot to kick around today. Most of it's fun. Some of it's a little serious. Good afternoon and welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. There's a reason we call it that. It used to be really large.
Yeah.
Like, you know, five people. And
well, and heavy people, too. Some, you know, you were heavy.
Whoa, what?
Someone else was heavy.
What kind of way is this to start the show?
I don't know. Peon was heavier then. I was heavier.
No. See, this is what, now you're trying to
then,
you directed that to me. And by the way.
You were heavy.
Yeah.
What?
My problem I have with what you said is the past tense.
Oh.
I'm heavy now.
Yeah, and I'm right back to where I was, I think.
All right. Well.
So why don't you just say we called it the large morning show in the afternoon, because, Frank, you were fat. You could say that.
Peon, okay. You're fat. Peon, yeah, you're the only one that's lost weight.
You're not fat. You were heavier.
Right.
You're still down from where you were.
All right, we called it the large morning show in the afternoon because you were fat.
And we had more people on in the afternoon. So we just kept the name and just moved the show, the morning show, large morning show, to the afternoon. So that's the reason for the name. And welcome. We're glad to have you here. This is the first time we've spoken in the year 2015. My wife had a really weird thing with her phone that she showed me today, and she never noticed it before. Because I guess the dates were exactly the same for 2015 as they were for... She just happened to look at the year. She was checking her calendar for something.
Right.
And according to her phone, this is 1972.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It is?
So I had to...
We have to go to school.
I just kept scrolling year to year to year and came up to 2015. I said, there, now you're current. I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah.
That the phone said 1972. So it is 2015. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to write a check or something, you people who still write checks, and you're going to put 14 and then realize after it's out of your hands, oh, I forgot it's 2015. And that's okay. You'll do that for a couple of weeks.
Whoa, I just realized something.
What?
Today is 1/5/15.
It's my mom's birthday today.
And for those of you, and for those of you who didn't get it, think about it. 1/5/15.
You put the 1 and 5 together, and it's the same as the year.
And if you put the 1 and 5 together, you get a 6. And if you put the other 1 and 5 together, you get a 6. You get 2/3 of the sign of the devil.
Now I'm scared.
Yeah, you ought to be. All that's missing is that 3/6. So this is 2/3 of the way to hell, mister.
Oh, man. Tonight at 6 o'clock.
Oh, no.
Look out.
Don't even think about it. Okay. For those of you who've never heard this show and you're thinking, is this what this show is like? The answer is yes. It's not going to get any better.
No.
It's just not. Now, I don't even know where to start. There's so much to talk about. Little Jimmy Dickens is dead.
Who's that?
That's exactly. We went down the hall. Dan and I went and asked if we could have the day off today.
Yeah. What they said.
Mike Dorsey, who runs the station, and he didn't know we were kidding. I said, "Do we have to work today?" He said, "Why?" I said, "Little Jimmy Dickens is dead." He said, "Who's that?" Same thing. Now, I will tell you, I don't think most of the world knows who Little Jimmy Dickens was.
Yeah, I don't think I had any idea.
You have to be a long time country music person, and I would say even more than that, you got to be over 50. Now, no disrespect to Little Jimmy. Little Jimmy was 4'11". That's why they called him Little Jimmy Dickens. And I'm almost positive he was a member of the country of the Grand Ole Opry and had been for many years and was still performing, died at 94. But for the life of me, I don't know why he was famous. Now, he had one sort of hit in the mid-60s called May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose. Not a great song. One of those songs that's funny until you hear it the third time. Then it's not funny anymore.
Now, the Grand Ole Opry, what is that once a week they do that?
Once a week they do a live broadcast, WSM, Nashville, Tennessee.
Is it on TV anywhere?
I believe it is.
But not nationwide?
I think most cable, I think there
like
is
CMT
a...
CMT or something?
Yeah, I think you can go see it. I could see it if I wanted to see it. It's a tradition. I mean,
and Opry is just a play on opera.
Opera,
right?
Yeah, it's a country. Yeah, and it's O-L-E. And when I hear people go, "Yeah, the Grand Old Opry," no, it's old. O-L-E. Grand. Thank you.
It's kind of like
thank
rap,
you, Bruce.
Huh? Kind of like rap a little bit when they
a little
say
bit like
Lil.
Lil. It's a little bit like country.
You have to strap me into a chair, I think, to sit through a.
I think I think you're mistaken. I think you think that. But you can go to the Grand Ole Opry, and you know who can walk out on stage? Carrie Underwood can walk out on stage.
She has. I wouldn't. I mean,
you know
like
who Vince Gill is?
Sure.
You know who Merle is? Merle Haggard?
Yes.
They come out on stage at the Grand Ole Opry. So, I mean, you might pick a night where you think you'd hate it, but you wouldn't hate it. It's not all Little Jimmy Dickens stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes a rock star will walk out on stage, too.
I believe Steven Tyler has been out on stage at the Grand Ole Opry. So they do. You're right, Dan. They have really well-known rock musicians who come out and join in. You like Rascal Flatts at all?
Not a big country fan at all.
Brown band? No. Well, then you would.
I don't think I would.
You don't go to the Grand Ole Opry. So Jimmy Dickens, forever and ever and ever, and was still performing. Now, what did you find? I told you pull up something. From Jimmy Dickens. This is Little Jimmy Dickens. I never did get it.
One fine day as I was walking down the street, spied a big man with rags upon his feet.
I think stop right there. Everybody who's ever said, I hate country music, this is what they're talking about.
Dick-a-doom, dick-a-doom, dick-a-doom.
That's what they're talking about, and it really upsets me because when they say, oh, country music, I hate... No, this is probably what they're talking about. If you find another Jimmy Dickens, it's kind of, to me, what... bluegrass is kind of that way to me. I bluegrass to me is washboard, and a big old tub and a homemade ukulele.
There's some bluegrass that is really, really good.
Well, you can say that about anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Jimmy.
My pappy used to play.
All right, stop right there. Pappy.
If pappy is in your lyrics.
Yeah. Right there, you just lost any chance to gain country music following when you say my pappy in a song.
Any younger
play a little more audience. Yeah. No,
the barn, he taught me to be dignified out behind the barn.
Yeah.
The barn.
When he took his strap to me and turned me down across his knee, he sure did hurt my dignity out behind the barn.
All right, stop right there. First of all, in the age of political correctness and you can't touch your kids, here's a song about a guy taking a strap to his kid behind the barn.
Yep.
And the tone. I don't know how to describe somebody sing like that. I don't know what you call that. But I could see where that stuff would turn people off to country music. Yeah, so if nothing else.
There was a guy on radio a long time ago, I remember. His name was Grady.
Yeah, irritating.
Yes.
Oh, very irritating. The same kind of deal.
And Jimmy Dickens, I think probably could say he, more than anybody, might have been responsible for... running people away from country music because that's what they think of. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. The guy is more successful, I'm sure, than I am, and probably died with $50 million or something. But that's what a lot of – there used to be a stand-up comic, and he had a great routine. And he said, here's country music. hears every country song. And then he did, using his mouth, and then he actually, I think if I remember, played. And sure enough, the songs he played started. Now I'll say, I say this about Johnny Cash, and I love Johnny Cash. I always liked him. But if you listen to, and we've talked about this before, here's pretty much every Johnny Cash song.
Yeah.
Now watch this. I hear the train. Okay. Now let's take another song. Love is a burning thing. Same thing. Okay, yeah. Here we go. We got married in a...
Because you're mine, he I walked the line.
His band had to... All they had to learn was... Mm-hmm. That's Johnny Cash. And he made a great living out of that. But that was different. Cash had... He wasn't a great singer, but he had... A style. He just like nobody.
And a stage presence.
And a stage presence. Yeah. Little Jimmy Dickens, his stage presence was, I can't see you.
Yeah, I know.
That was, and I don't know much about him. I'm sure he's probably a great guy.
I wonder how much money he had and how much money he made.
I would love to know that. A 94-year-old, 4'11" guy. I wonder how much. I'd love to know that. I'm going to say he probably was pretty well off because. The country music community embraced him, even though he was so far removed from the sound of a Carrie Underwood or a Diamond Rio, or Rascal Flatts, or a Little Big Town.
But I'm sure they are the country traditionalists who aren't fans of the new country.
No, like sure they are. Anything past 1990, they don't want to hear it.
And he was there when didn't Dolly start at the Grand Ole Opry? Dolly Parton.
Dolly started with Porter Wagner.
Porter Wagner there.
Another guy I don't get. Porter Wagner.
Yes.
Okay. Another guy that if you listen to his music, then you'll say, I hate country music.
And he almost held his guitar upside down, it seemed like. I mean, his guitar was way up top by his chin, and then the neck.
Well, Cash did that. Johnny
yeah,
Cash
I know.
The guitar up.
I never understood that.
Dan, the phones are going crazy. Maybe we should take, there are people going to enlighten us about Little Jimmy Dickens, but he's gone. Donna Douglas is also gone. She was Ellie Mae Clampett on the TV series Beverly Hillbillies. And there was another case of somebody who was a part of a tremendously successful TV show. And then nothing. I mean, a little bit of B-movie, minor roles in whatever. But I never have understood that, how you could be here. How about this guy? Beaver, Cleaver. What the heck was
Jerry,
Mathers. How more popular can a show be than Leave It to Beaver? What happened to him? Nothing. These people can't get a job after that. Maybe it's because they're so good at doing one thing, that's all people think they can do, is be the Beave. You can't do anything. Donna Douglas was so, oh my goodness, she was good looking. I can't imagine that she couldn't have done other, but hey, for some reason she didn't. Scott's with us. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, AM and the PM. How you doing?
Thank you. What's up, Scott?
Hey, quick question. You kind of blew over Daniel there with the Grady thing. You remember that guy? He was
irritating.
He was a great. You remember the exactly what he was always selling?
Well, he sold several things. Sold Nike. Sold for Randy Blunt. Sold for Bianco Oldsmobile. Sold for the Athlete's Foot stores. Several things. Irritating.
But he was great.
Okay.
You kind of blew over that.
To each their own, I guess.
All right. Well, Scott, Happy New Year.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Scott's in on it, I think. Let's go to, I hope this is right, Steve. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay, Frank. AM into PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad you're talking about the Grand Ole Opry. It's good to hear people talking about it. I go there about twice a year.
And I want to go. We've never been.
It is awesome.
Yeah, and that's
I'm a big country fan, and it's an awesome show. We were there last July, and sure enough, Little Jimmy Dickens came out.
Well, of course. Of course he did.
I was really surprised. You know, we got online real quick to see if he was 94 years old.
Yeah, so, they said he was there just 2 weeks ago on the CBS Sunday Morning.
But listen, I like country music too. But Steve, would you agree with me? It's almost like they sort of allowed little Jimmy Dickens to keep playing. You know,
well,
how many?
They brought him up on stage and they had to prop him up while he sang one song. And then they helped him off stage. But it's good to see him, though.
And, but I think,
yeah, you're right. They allowed him to come up there again.
Yeah, they loved him. It's not
he had
that
to be
anybody...
one of a handful of 90-something-year-old
well, plus, they knew that nobody gave two hoots about his music. The audience just embraced him because Nashville embraced him and the Grand Ole Opry embraced him. It's
right.
Kind of like Bob Hope in his later years. Bob Hope wasn't that funny, but America loved Bob Hope. So they would.
Who remembers, Whisperin' Bill Anderson?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Hold it. Whisper, you just named another guy that I think is responsible for driving people away from country music. Whispering.
And I hope to see him again. We're going
here.
Back in March.
All right, Steve, here's my Bill Anderson. And Peon's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
He has that wispy hair, too. That.
Yeah, here's Bill Anderson. He had a song called Still. All right, here it is. I'll do it. I'll take care of this. So here we go. Still. After all this time, still. And it was that high. And when he interviewed him, Bill Anderson talked just like this. He had oh my goodness, I wanted to blow
my
brains out.
You almost have
to
with a name like that. Oh, you can't go, hell, thank you.
I'm Whispering Bill. But it was that every song he sang was like that, and he talked like that, and it drove me crazy. No, I'm glad you mentioned him. I think he drove a lot of people away, too.
And what about George Hamilton IV?
Well, not as big a name.
Well, the fifth came out last July when we were there, too.
Oh, I bet he's going to be a big hit.
Uh-huh.
George Hamilton V. Good luck to him. Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year.
Vince Gill, I mean, oh, my gosh.
No. You just named my single favorite guitarist and country music singer, Vince Gill.
Vince Gill.
What a talent. What a talent. Now, there's my example of somebody that I could use to get you into country music. If you think you hate it. Steve, thank you for the call.
Sure.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, Vince, you know who Vince Gill is?
Sure. I don't know his music, but
tremendous. Tremendous. Let's talk to John. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm fine, Frank. I'm AM into PM.
Thank you.
Frank, you just said talk about little Jimmy Dickens. He had that one song, Take a Cold Tater and Wait. Remember that song?
But there's another great example if people think that represents country music. Take a cold tater and wait.
Right.
What does that even
and
mean?
And it was a song.
I know. I know it was. Yeah, I've heard it.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, that was a song. They never heard it before.
Well, I heard it, but it's been 50 years or 40 years since I've heard it.
I know it. Just like him... his song "Happy Take Me Out Behind the Barn." I heard that on the radio one morning.
We played it. We played a little of it just now. John, thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys too. Bye.
I'm trying to think of other examples of people who drove people away from country music because if they heard it, and they go, "Well, if that's a sample." You know,
it's like some of the acts down in Branson. They're kind of country related, but it's that hokey.
Hokey.
Like bluegrassy stuff.
Like the Bald Knobbers.
Exactly.
Who have a reality show now. Did you hear about this?
No.
Bald Knobbers do?
On True TV, it's called Branson Famous. It's a reality show just about the Bald Knobbers.
First of all, if you want
just
to.
Just with the name, Bald Knobbers.
If you want to make somebody hate country music. Introduced them to say, well, the first group I'd like to play for you is the Bald Knobbers. They're done already. They're
sit
already
and watch Hee Haw for
yeah.
A couple
then they think that's all of country music is that everybody is a hayseed, hillbilly. Let's
overalls with no shirt on.
Exactly. Get Mike in here. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Mike? Hey, Frank. How you doing? I'm doing good today, man. Amen to PM.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Hallelujah.
What's going on?
Not too much. You know, I was thinking about that little Jimmy Pickens. Mm-hmm. Whenever they would show him on, like, the Grand Ole Opry, you know, like you guys were, you know, talking about whether he was worth a lot of money or anything.
Right.
You know, he was always on stage. He had them suits on, the rhinestone suits, and, you know, and all the gems and everything all shining in the light. So,
Yeah.
I'm assuming that dude probably had a little bit of money stashed away somewhere.
Well, and that doesn't, but I'm glad you mentioned that, because there was a time when most of the country artists, or a lot of them, Porter Wagoner was one, Jimmy Dickens, well, you're right, they wore those, Marty Stewart, they wore those nudie suits. And
bedazzled.
They were bedazzled with all kinds of jewels and crap on them. It was almost laughable. But some of them were actually beautiful. I mean, walking, you go, whoa, look at that jacket. And those days are over. Now it's guys like Kenny Chesney and all these young guys who wear these tight shirts to show you how much time they spend in the gym. That's the country.
Did Porter Wagoner wear stuff like that, too?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Porter Wagoner.
But that's the thing, you know, I mean, every time you saw him, he had one of them suits on. Now, I didn't see him a lot on there. You know, it's not like I watched every week, so. Right. You know, maybe he had one suit he pulled out every week. I don't know, but if he had a collection of them, woo!
Now, Mike, he was probably 4'11" for 80 years, so you don't have to buy a whole lot of new.
Hey, Mike, here's the other thing. You mentioned Porter Wagoner. This is interesting. I don't ever remember seeing him wear a cowboy hat, which was kind of the signature thing for country, especially back then, because he wanted to show off what I call gospel hair. He had that swept back gospel singer hairdo. And I don't think I ever saw him wear a cowboy hat. Mike, have a great new year.
Take care now.
Thank you for the call. Look at these phones. See, people, and I do believe this. If you, who's that guy who was accused, and I think it was a pretty strong accusation of raping a 13-year-old. He did.
Seventh Heavens?
No. He did I Believe I Can Fly.
R. Kelly?
R. Kelly.
Yes.
Now, if you played me I Believe I Can Fly, which is on my iPod, and you said, hey, do you like his music? I go, I love his music. And then I listened to some other garbage he did.
Most of
what he did was filthy. So if I'd heard one of those songs. See, I know the name R. Kelly because he happened to do one song I really like. And I think that happens with a lot of music. If you play me most any rap song, my reaction is going to be, I can't stand that stinking crap because most of it's crap. But I'm sure that there's one or two that if I heard it, I'd go, well, you know, okay. And then maybe that should have been the first one I heard. But I doubt it. I think I'm right about rap music. Dale, how are you?
I'm doing good, Frank. AM and PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. What's happening?
I've heard this story. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm going to Google it, I think. But they say Donna Douglas was older than Granny.
Oh, I believe that. I think Granny Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies was a very young gal. That the Peon's going to Google it too, but I think that's very possible. I know that Aunt B on Andy Griffith, who we all looked at and thought she's 70 years old, she was 40 or something,
and she was considered like in her 50s in that. On the show,
yeah, and she was younger.
Yeah,
he's going to Google. Hang on here, because Peon's Googling. Donna Douglas, and I'll tell you what you could do. You could
Irene Ryan was born in 1902.
Okay,
Donna Douglas born 1933.
Okay, so. Big difference. So Irene was older. So that's not true. Granny was considerably older than Donna, but that Donna Douglas, what a babe!
You all know where Porter Wagoner was from, don't you?
No.
West Plains, Missouri.
Now, how do you know that?
Because I deliver for Wally World. I'm down in your second home area. I'm going by Pistols Plus right now. I drive for Wally World.
Go in there and buy me you didn't get me a Christmas present, I don't believe. I'm looking at the list of listeners who did not get me a gift. Hang on. Yes, well, you're not on it. Why don't you go in there and buy me a handgun for Christmas, a belated Christmas present.
Can I pull in there in a big truck?
In
a Walmart trailer in the back of my truck.
Sure. Park it on the side of the road. Hey,
right.
Dale, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Yeah, there's nothing to keep him from buying me a gun because he's driving a Walmart tractor trailer thing. Speaking of that, Kroenke, let me be the first to say, who cares? Really, Stan Kroenke. I don't know him. And then let me ask this question: who does? Does anybody?
I don't.
Does anybody?
No.
He didn't. He didn't exactly make himself in all these years a loved or beloved, or you didn't see him out and about glad handing, shaking hands ever.
And now he throws this stuff out there to try and hold the entire city hostage.
Well, I would say screw you.
Yeah.
Go.
But as a team owner, I just don't understand. It's not going to be great for ticket sales
this
year.
You know what we're doing? We're disrespecting Jimmy Dickens.
We are.
We
We got to dedicate a Rams 3 hours.
No, let's stay on the Jimmy Dickens. This is the tribute show.
That's the least we can do.
It's our tribute show to little Jimmy Dickens, and we'll get to the other stuff. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll take your calls. Let me give you the numbers because I don't think we did that. And you have to be patient and wait 4 or 5 minutes because I like to get a lot of commercials done. Then we have time to talk. Like, look at this. We just had like 20 minutes or something to chat with uninterrupted. Well, uninterrupted. So here are the phone numbers, 314-969-KTRS or 888-550-KTRS. Schaefer Auto Body has been part of this show for about 15 years. They have 8 locations. Now, I would like to take credit for them growing and getting bigger. The truth is, we probably had something to do with it. But one of the things you can never, ever replace with any kind of advertising is word of mouth, what other people say about their experience at your business and what they tell their neighbors and their relatives and their friends. And I doubt that there have ever been many people, if any, who've ever said, yeah, we had the work done at Schaefer. Look at it. You can sure tell where that door was fixed. No, no, you can't. All you know is that when you took it in, something was smashed in or broken off or crushed, and when you got it back, it wasn't, and you can't tell where the work started and where it ended. That's the true test of a great body shop. And I remember many, many years ago, I had some vehicle in Schaefer, and there was significant damage. I think one vehicle at one time, a deer came, hit me in the windshield. And there was, if I remember, $18,000 worth of damage to this vehicle. And years before that, somebody at Schaefer said, how does it look? And I said, looks great. And they said, well, we want you to make sure it's great, so do us a favor and look at it tonight under a streetlight. Look at it in the daylight. Look at it on a cloudy day. Look at it in the lights of your garage. In other words, no matter what angle, what distance, what light, this should be perfect, or it's not acceptable to us here at Schaefer. That's who I want to do my body work. And you should, too. And so will your insurance company. Schaefer, don't forget the C-S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, Schaefer Auto Body Centers.
Meet me.
See how traffic's moving along. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, you've got an accident on northbound 141 at Conway that's blocking the left lane. Traffic is now backing up almost to the plate. Yes. You have a stalled vehicle that's blocking the left lane on eastbound 40, midway between Vandeventer and Grand. It's right where 40 goes underneath the, where eastbound 40 goes underneath the west deck. And then you also have some road work that's going on between Earth City Expressway and Highway 270 on eastbound 70. Traffic running pretty slow there. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. Staples Copy and Print has great deals on everything you need to promote your business, from brochures to business cards to banners. Staples, make more happen. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Live and local, this is your official severe weather station. The Big 550
KTRS.
Depend on it.
Have you been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome? Are you having excessive bloating, reflux, abdominal pain, gas, diarrhea, or constipation? Are your digestive issues preventing you from doing the things you want for fear of embarrassment? Here at Premier Healthcare, we have helped hundreds of patients identify the underlying causes of their digestive issues and repair the digestive tract. They experience more energy, sleep better, get rid of the symptoms of IBS, and get their normal life back. Dr. Sean Branham has developed a program based on extensive diagnostic testing to uncover the causes of digestive disorders. Things like nutritional deficiencies, hormonal imbalances, gastrointestinal infections, and food allergies. He customizes a diet and an all-natural plan to each patient based on their test results. If you're serious about getting your life back, call our offices at 314-647-1384 to schedule your consultation. The first 20 callers will receive a complimentary consultation. Again, the number is 314-647-1384. You do not have to live with this problem any longer.
Midwest Floor has just purchased a truckload of hardwood flooring to give you these great New Year's savings. Hello, I'm Brian McGee, President and CEO of Midwest Floor. If you ever wanted to make a fashion statement in your home, now is the time. And here's a great suggestion. Beautiful 5-inch wide American-made hand-scraped hickory hardwood flooring on sale now for only $389 a square foot. That's right. You can have one of the most durable hardwood floors made. In fact, hickory is 40% harder than oak. American-made hand-scraped hickory for only $389 a square foot. Let me repeat, for only $389 a square foot, it's the latest in flooring fashion. And with your choice of 10 pre-finished colors, you can't go wrong. So hurry into one of our two stores and take advantage of this truckload offer. That's Midwest Floor in Brentwood and Chesterfield, or online at MidwestFloor.com. Quality since 1939.
Golf is hard. It's just a really hard game. The toughest one I've ever played. But there's help for you, no matter what level of golfer you may be. It's Golf Tech and their three area locations in De Pere, Chesterfield Valley, and Clayton. They'll teach and instruct you to become a better player. With over 1,000 lessons given already this year, now is the time you need to see the pros like Craig Bowman at Golf Tech. It's not a quick fix, because those don't exist. And don't bother them if you're not committed to becoming a better golfer. Utilizing their state-of-the-art video and swing trainers, your instructor will customize a plan for you and your goals as a player. Golf Tech knows how to communicate instruction in a way that lets the student understand what they're working on. It's time. Become a better player and enjoy the game of golf more and lower your scores with Golf Tech. To learn more about their three locations in De Pere, Chesterfield, and Clayton, call 314-721-4653. That's 314-721-GOLF or online at golftech.com. Visit the official instructors of Fairways and Greens and play better golf with Golf Tech.
This is Steve Light and Greg Gonzalez, host of the Retire Worry Free Show on the Big 550 KTRS.
As retirement planning specialists for the last 22 years, we have helped people get everything they want out of retirement. So the question is, what do you want out of your retirement? When you cut through all the fluff, it all boils down to this. When exactly can I retire? And what's my retirement going
to
look like?
If there's anything we can do to help you get the retirement you've always wanted, let us know. Go to StephenGreg.com.
That's StephenGreg.com.
Or listen to Retire Worry Free on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Folks have told me I was poor before I got right. A winter apple picked off in the fall. But even as a young'un, I was not the bashful type. Cause I could yell aloud to stop them all. I'm little, but I'm loud. I'm poor, but I'm proud. I'm countryfied, and I don't care who knows.
Oh, watch out. This is
a
little Jimmy Dickens
here. I'm like a rooster in a big red rooster crowd. I'm puny, short, and little, but I'm loud.
All right, that's enough for me. I don't mean to be disrespectful because nobody likes country music, but I did 8 years in country music radio. But I don't think I could listen to an entire little Jimmy Dickens song. I just don't. It's just too country.
Countryfied.
I think it's too. You know, if I were the head of the Country Music Association, I would have called little Jimmy in years ago and I said, Jimmy, let me just say it. You're too country for country.
Go away.
You are too country even for country music. Have a good life and see you later. But little Jimmy Dickens, dead at 84. And Donna Douglas 94. Is dead. 94, I'm sorry. And we have some calls, so let's just get to them. David should be right here. Hello, David.
Hey, Frank. Hey, everybody.
Thank you, David. Hallelujah. What's up?
Hey, how about Loretta Lynn? Man, she's a good country singer.
I agree. Yeah. But she's also very country. But I put her in that category of old great country. Merle, Johnny, Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette, Jeannie Seeley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can't put Loretta Lynn in the category with Jimmy Dickens. Jimmy Dickens to me is like hayseed, hillbilly, corn pone.
Yeah, I remember Channel 11 before they went national. Every Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock in the morning, we used to have a half hour of the old Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Dickens was real funny.
He was funny?
Yeah.
That's good to know. Well, he's gone, and rest in peace, little Jimmy Dickens. Happy New Year, David.
too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Somebody called during the break and said that he looked it up and said Little Jimmy Dickens was worth $10 million.
There you go.
Yeah.
And there's a market for that.
Wow.
Of course, he did it for, let's see, 70 years or something?
I guess. And someone else called and said, is that where you Little Dickens came from?
No. No.
How do you,
you
use
Little
the phrase,
Jimmy Dickens?
What?
How do you use the phrase Little Dickens?
You've never heard that?
You've never heard Little Dickens?
You Little Dickens.
Yeah.
And by the way, what a dumb expression.
I know.
I don't think I've ever used that.
Or scared the
or
Dickens
heard
out of me.
I've heard that, yeah.
Oh, it's and old. Even,
and Charles that, Dickens?
No. It's just stupid. It's like for Pete's sake. Who's Pete? Why couldn't it be for Bill's sake? For Bob's sake. No, it's Pete. We don't know why. And scared the Dickens out of me. If you think about it, that's just stupid. We say a lot of stupid things, and we don't know why we say them. Let's talk to Don. Hello, Don. How are you?
How are you, Frank? I'm Don from Humboldt, Tennessee.
Oh, Don, my goodness. I won't, for the rest of my life, meet 10 people from Humboldt, Tennessee, where I was born.
Well, there's a few of us. I didn't stay down there too long.
Good. Me either.
What chased me out was a tune from the early 60s, The Turkey Neck Stretch by Grady McNeil.
Oh, my God. That actually just sounds horrible.
It was a rockabilly type song.
Never heard it.
Never
the
heard it.
Turkey
it was hideous.
Hey, you know who's from Humboldt? A big country name, used to be.
Big country name?
T.G. Shepherd.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His name is Billy Browder, and he's from Humboldt.
What was the name of the song?
Turkey Neck Stretch. Yeah. Just the
sound. You can look it up on the internet.
No,
play.
Thanks. Yeah, we probably
won't.
I'd
love to hear it.
Yeah. We probably won't. Don, thank you.
You're welcome. Nice talking to you. Bye.
Nice talking to you. All right. I think we've done enough Little Jimmy Dickens tribute. I guess there won't be a Donna Dougley. There's nothing we can play. We could play a clip from Beverly Hillbillies, but that'd be
the theme song.
Nah, everybody knows that. She was pretty. And no, aside from that, nobody can tell you. Most people, you go, what else? Donna Dougley. What else? They don't know.
We talked about it Friday. She was in a famous Twilight Zone episode. But then, yeah, not much.
We talked about it. What are we talking about?
Well, you were on assignment on Friday.
Oh, yeah, Paul Harris was in here.
You should save that stuff for when I'm here. Well, don't use up the good material with Paul.
Flats and Scruggs.
Not Flats.
No,
Flat and Scruggs.
Flat and Scruggs, who did the Beverly Hills Hillbillies theme song.
Right.
They were on the Grand Ole Opry a number of times, I'm sure.
Oh, I would like to take a moment here to share a story with you. As you know, I make notes when my wife says something. Not something, I don't want to say it's something stupid. It's just a wifeism. She has a way of...
Yogi Berra did it for years and years.
Yes, he did.
Yogiisms.
And so did Casey Stengel. So my wife does these things. The latest one was this weekend she's telling friends of ours about Peon's baby. Peon has a new baby. He'll be 4 weeks old.
3 weeks this week.
Well, I keep putting a week. I keep making him a week older. 3 weeks this Wednesday. So she's telling friends of ours he got circumcised. And it was done by Rabbi Mike. And she said, oh, yeah, and they had it done right. They had a mole do it. See, and these are people that, you know, you don't like to, in front of your wife, embarrass her.
Right. You could bite your lip and just let it slide.
But I don't.
But you don't. Nah.
And so she said they had a mole. So, and I said, what?
A mole?
Yeah, mole. My wife told friends of ours that Peon and his wife had a mole circumcised. I said, well, what? She said, yeah, you know, a mole. That's all they do. And I said, you mean a moil? And she goes, what did I say? And I said, you said a mole. You know what I meant.
She always finishes
always the
with,
same. It's the
you
same.
Know what I meant.
It's just like a comedy routine. Every time it's the same.
I would hate to have a mole do it because the moles don't have eyesight.
Hey, tell me if you think this is
bad
a good
eyesight.
Tell me if you think this is a good idea. I have this grandson now.
Right.
And he's unbelievable.
We didn't know that. You never talk about him.
Shut up. He's unbelievable. He's so cute. And so I've started working on some kid stuff, and now I'm working on tell me what you think about this, a character who's an explorer, but he can't walk. Marco Polio.
Oh, my God!
What do you think?
I think it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And don't email me. You think polio is funny? Of course not.
Nobody gets polio anymore.
Not in this country.
No.
So it'd be different if I made a joke where, you know,
I know
you're listening and you're afflicted by it.
I know several people
Marco
who are
diabetes
parents.
Or something.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, Danny diabetes. Now that's not funny.
No.
I know several people who are parents of friends that had polio, and my dad had polio when he was a kid.
Oh, see, now you're trying to make me feel bad.
No,
oh,
man. No, not at all.
Bring the room down.
I bet your dad, if he's listening, is laughing right now. He thinks that's funny. Let me go to Steve. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hello there. It's Steve Davis, your Elvis friend.
Never heard of you.
Oh, okay.
What's going on, Steve?
Oh, I was going to share with you. So many years ago, when I was still new at this craft, I was asked to play down in Vichy, Missouri, near Rolla.
I know exactly where it is.
And they had an old airfield down there.
They
that
still
they
do.
Converted into this venue called the Ozark Extravaganza.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
It was a four-day event. I mean, they had everybody you could believe. They had, you know, it was like Thursday was the monster truck pull, and then they had a rodeo and pro wrestling, and they had Jerry Clower. And
oh, my God. Hold on. Jerry Clower. Steve, are you familiar with him?
I am.
This is a guy whose whole routine was taking 10 minutes to say a sentence. Jerry Clower. He was Southern, and he was very Southern. Who else was on the bill?
Well, they had, of course, Donna Douglas. How they promoted her was unique. They had a house that I think in the wintertime was used in front of a bank as Santa Claus's house.
Mm.
And then they took a forklift and they painted it pink, or, you know, and then they put a petting zoo next to it.
I'd pet
and,
her.
And the way the line worked, you could go inside. It was Ellie Mae's critter cabin.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's another word. If you want to run people off, use critter. That says hillbilly.
But it worked. They had a big line, and she was very nice and very charming. She had every 8x10 photograph from the Beverly Hillbillies on you could purchase, and then she would sign them. And then if you wanted to exit to the left, that took you back out to the fairgrounds midway. But if you exited to the right, it took you into the petting zoo, which had a number of critters there, of course. And
critter was the term used on the Beverly Hillbillies
right.
for their pets, just like they use cement pond
yes.
for swimming. And critter's okay if it's Critter Care, the company that watches that. Then it's okay to use it. So who else was there?
Well, on the billing, well, I played the Saturday afternoon show with our show, and then later that afternoon were the Beatles, a bunch of kids that did the Beatle impression. The Friday night show was somebody like Lionel Cartwright and Robin Lee, and then the Saturday night concert was always a major headliner, somebody like Alan Jackson, or some big headliner
like Tracy Byrd, or it was always country, right?
Yo, know, all the whole thing was country. Yeah. Yes.
So how big a crowd? How big a crowd did they draw?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they had 15,000-20,000 people down there each day, because they had a carnival midway, and they had. It was at the old airfield in Vichy. So I mean, this wasn't used as an airfield. It had a flea market. It had a swap meet for cars. They had everything. I mean, they had everything minus like a Civil War reenactment going on down there.
Everybody who lives in a city, even St. Louis, should at some point go to something like that. You really should.
It was beautiful. And you know, Frank, I think that's a lost art form. I don't know if there's a show like that being produced anywhere now.
No, I think they're out there, but they're way out there.
Yeah. I waited till the crowd was just about done and they were folding up, and I walked over and Donna Douglas is standing there, and she was very nice.
Now, how old was she at this time?
Well, it was in 91, 92. I played the show 4 years in a row.
60s?
So between 91 and 94.
So she would have been...
She was 82 when she died. So, yeah,
right.
Late 50s.
So she was in her mid-60s.
Okay. Still good looking?
She had on the, you know, the real hip-hugger, you know, peg-leg jeans with the rope belt.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the gingham shirt, you know, and she was real nice. She was in the Elvis film Frankie and Johnny.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, was she still nice looking when you met her?
You know, I think she was. She was very, she wore, I could tell immediately she had like a blonde fall tied to her hair, kind of as an extension.
Yeah.
But she was very nice, and she was ultra Christian, because I'd started asking her, you know, and I didn't get off out of bounds or anything. I just asked her, I said, how was it working?
You didn't get out of bounds. You just said, can I feel your boobs?
Mm-hmm. No.
Can I take that rope belt off?
No, you behave.
Yeah.
And so she immediately, she kind of gave me the stink eye. She didn't wish to talk about Elvis under any circumstances.
Ooh. Hey, she apparently,
Daniel, 30 seconds.
Couple of people called and said she did a lot of gospel albums.
No, she was very much a born again Christian. She really was.
She worked with you remember Tom Lester, the young man that played Ebb on Green Acres?
Yes.
And evidently he had a congregation of church down near Bolivar or somewhere down there, and she worked heavily with them, and she worked with Lulu Roman and some other people in the business, and that afternoon, Sunday afternoon show, she was on stage with, like, the Statesmen, the Florida Boys, wow. Jerry Clower, and Lulu Roman.
Wow. That's real country, buddy.
But so later on in my travels, I bumped into Steve Cox, who's an author from Florissant, and I kind of see him in my travels, and he wrote the book on the Beverly Hillbillies. And so we were down at the convention center.
Can you do this in 30 seconds? Because that's what
I can.
Okay.
Anyway, he asked me how it was working with Donna. I said, oh, she's wonderful. And he said, did she mention anything about Elvis? I said, no. He said, same thing happened to him, and he felt that his conjecture was that maybe as a young girl she had kind of an affair or something that went wrong, and she was emotionally, she didn't wish to talk about him anymore. Yeah.
Well, you remember the first time I met you, I gave you the stink eye. Remember
yes, that? I do. Yes, I do.
Steve, always a pleasure.
Thanks, buddy.
Happy New Year.
You too.
All right. The King. Our close proximity. What do you call it? Close. What's the word?
Facsimile?
Facsimile. Thank you, Steve Davis. Mark and Jason. You know, there are people who actually impersonate Mark and Jason. They impersonate. They pretend to be financial advisors when really their goal is just to make themselves richer. Now, Mark and Jason do get paid. If you... You know, you go to them and you take their financial advice. They're going to get paid if you utilize their services. It's not a charity, and they have bills to pay too. Just like your doctor doesn't, you know, operate on you for free. But here's the deal. If you think you can do it on your own and your money will work harder than if you go to Mark and Jason and get their advice, somebody who's been doing this for a long time, 27, 28 years with Stiefel Nicholas, knock yourself out. Do it. But most people can't. We don't know what they know. So even if you have a financial advisor, compare.